Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE. If you want to grow the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Jeff, have you ever had one of those moments where you're scrolling through a streaming service and it suggests a show that's so spot on, it's almost creepy how well it knows what you'd like?
Definitely. It's like, hey, Jeff, we know you love rock and roll and satirical comedy. So here's a series where Stephen Colbert comments on biopics about musicians a la Mystery Science Theater.
And you'd watch that series, right? Because it fits your interests.
Yeah, and I now have questions about whether I should be happy about my viewing options or deeply concerned that an algorithm understands me better than some of my friends do. But I digress.
Well, that kind of personalization is what makes companies like Netflix or Spotify so good at what they do. And they do it through segmentation. They analyze behavior, they analyze preferences, they analyze patterns, and then they serve up the right content for the right person at the right time.
And of course, achieving the level of personalization of a Netflix or a Spotify might be a stretch for most learning businesses, but many learning businesses aren't doing even basic segmentation well. They offer the same courses, the same marketing messages, and the same learning experiences to everyone, whether they're a brand new professional or a 30-year veteran, whether they're highly engaged by the subject or just trying to fulfill their CE requirements.
Which is a problem because learners, who are also entertainment consumers, are expecting more personalized experiences. If we don't take the time to understand and segment our learners, we risk losing them to providers who do that segmentation.
So we want to spend this episode talking about why and how learning businesses can and should segment their audience, what it looks like in practice, and how it can lead to more engagement, better learning outcomes, and yes, better business results.
If you're already segmenting, great. We hope the episode will still provide you with some food for thought and an opportunity to reassess your approach to segmentation. You might walk away with a new dimension you want to segment on or a new idea to try for how you leverage the segments you have in place. And of course, if you aren't yet doing segmentation, then we hope this episode starts you down that road.
Right. So let's start off with why segmentation matters, kind of the business case for segmentation. And we'll just stay out of the gate that segmentation isn't just a nice to have. It's really essential if you want that engagement and retention and revenue that so many learning businesses are seeking.
Learning businesses compete for attention, and personalized experiences help cut through all the noise. We've talked about awareness, we've talked about attention many times before on the podcast, and segmentation is a way to help you make your messaging more tailored, more personalized, which is then going to hopefully help it, once it does get someone's attention, keep that attention.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about this, we've made comparisons between learning and marketing before. That's kind of familiar ground with us. And, you know, segmentation happens all the time in marketing, in email campaigns, for example, or in ads. You can set up all sorts of segmentation around running digital ads. And of course, learning businesses need to be doing the same. Of course, they need to be doing that as part of their own marketing promotions, but they also need to be doing it as they're thinking about their portfolio and their product development.
Right. And so the danger of not segmenting or not segmenting well is that you waste hard-earned attention and awareness, and then you make it even harder to get that back. So if you're sending that same email about a beginner's course to seasoned professionals, when they tune in, they're going to be like, hey, that's not for me. It doesn't interest me. So then the next time they see your email, even if it does tout an offering that actually is more appropriate to them as a seasoned professional, they might be less likely to open it.
Yeah. I mean, so in that case, you know, it might be much better to have different learning paths that are based on career stage and then promote the appropriate one to the appropriate person. And I think we've brought this up before, but you can't stress enough at this point how important getting attention is and how hard it is to get attention. I think we all know that. And once you've got it, you better be delivering something that's relevant and interesting to that particular person, or you're going to lose them and you may not get them back.
So if we know that segmentation is really important, critical, in fact, then the next big question is how to do that segmentation, because not all segmentation is created equal.
Yeah. I mean, so you don't want to just split people into new versus experienced or member versus non-member and then call it a day. Say, you know, we've done our job. There are different approaches to segmentation. And the trick is finding what actually matters for your learners and your learning business.
So we're going to talk about some different ways to segment learners, and there are lots of ways to slice and dice an audience. And so before we jump into different ways to segment learners, we're going to say up front that less is more, and that it's really important to also be asking why as you think through your segmentation.
Yeah, I mean, because you can segment in so many different ways. But it's just a lot easier to manage, you know, a handful of meaningful segments or, you know, meaningful personas. Businesses like to talk about personas a lot, but you can't have 80 of those and serve them effectively. You can't even have 30 of those and serve them effectively. You've got to get it really down to the ones that matter most for your particular business.
Right. And so that's around that less is more. I mean, part of it's just the being able to keep them in mind, being able to meaningfully serve them. That's why less is more effective in this case. In terms of that importance of asking why, it's about what will you do with that segment? What will you do with that piece of data you're thinking about segmenting along? And the real takeaway here is don't collect that data if you don't really have a plan to use it. You got to get people's attention to collect data often in the first place. And then you don't want to overwhelm them with too many asks, especially if you're not going to do anything with it. So really make what data you're trying to collect and determine about individual learners, make that important, make that relevant. Make sure you know why you're collecting it and what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, and I think a part of that why and a part of that relevance is the size of the segments that you define. You know, we just talked about not having too many different segments because that gets to be hard to manage. And oftentimes, if you have too many segments, you start getting them down to sizes that don't really work from a business standpoint, because we are, after all, talking about the learning business. And it's pretty easy to slice down to segments that are so small that there's just no way you're going to be able to offer a financially viable product. Now, you know, if you're a mission-driven organization, as many learning businesses are, you may make the decision to offer something to that segment anyway and offset the loss somewhere else. But let's face it, you can only do so much of that.
So those are sort of some upfront caveats or upfront thoughts to think about as you're thinking about what segmentation might make sense for your audience, for your learners. And what we can do now is talk about some typical ways to segment learners and different ways to think about that. Demographic segmentation is a very big, typical way to segment an audience. And so this might have you looking at things like, what career stage is that individual in? What industry or what job role? Are they member or non-member? Maybe you want to do things like collect geographical location if you offer synchronous learning opportunities, whether those are in person or online. And so you want to be able to offer that at appropriate times to those learners. Maybe you want to use that geographic location to also make some assumptions around language support or localization needs.
Yeah. I mean, demographic is definitely a standard one. And in some ways, I think in a lot of ways, that's often the easiest one for learning businesses to work with, because particularly if you're within, say, a member organization, a lot of times you're going to have some of that data about your learners, or you can get it relatively easier. Other types of data might not be as easy. And I would say, relative to any segmentation, you want to form some solid ideas about the segmentations you want as early as possible so you can plan for it, because it's going to be pretty rare that you're just going to be able to push a button and have your segmentation data. You're going to have to collect it over time. So you got to be thinking about the things that you really want to have in terms of segmentation data. A second one we'll mention is behavioral segmentation. So things like preferences for in-person offerings versus online, or preference for mobile-friendly learning or short-form microlearning versus deep dive or more immersive opportunities, what the engagement patterns are of your learners, their past participation, their tech access and savviness. And these are, reflect ways that they behave. But again, you got to have a plan for figuring out how you're going to get that. Are you going to get that through a survey? Are you tracking your LMS data? How are you getting that?
Buried in some of what you were saying there is just this idea of engagement, right? Like, how engaged are these segments? How engaged are these learners? Are they coming back to you? And what are they coming back to you for? And this is perhaps a bit of a side note, but, a potential useful distinction or segmentation could just be around, who do you consider alumni? Who actually has come and learned from you before? And maybe that's a useful segmentation, because maybe the messaging to those folks is a little bit different than to folks who've never learned with you before or haven't learned with you in this type of offering. They haven't yet gone to the big place-based conference, or they haven't yet tried, the mobile-friendly course offerings that you have, things like that, and sort of that distinction of who is alumni in this case.
Right. And these are great things to brainstorm about within your learning business. What are these different types of segmentation that really matter, again, to you, going back to that why? Another one is needs-based segmentation. So, knowing pain points of particular groups of learners, knowing learning goals of particular groups of learners, the urgency of skill acquisition for particular segments within your audience.
And then there's also the potential to segment around competitive offerings. That is, where does this segment of your learners tend to go to learn if they're not going to learn from you? In some cases, that might be they're going nowhere. And that might be sort of your competitive landscape with them, which then would lead to a certain type of messaging. For others, you may know that there's another offering in the field, that is competitive with yours, and they have enough money and enough wherewithal to get themselves to that place-based offering. And so that's going to be what you're sort of alluding to in some of your marketing messaging, for example.
Right, or configuring your advertising, against keywords that relate to that competitor. So back to the personalization and marketing. Another one is what's typically referred to as psychographic segmentation. So, what do you know about the mindset of the different segments within your audience, the motivations, the barriers to learning? How can you speak to those, both in how you promote and in what you provide in terms of learning experiences?
And I think that ties back to the needs-based segmentation that you mentioned earlier, Jeff, around pain points and learning goals and the urgency of skill acquisition. I think a lot of those then tie into things like mindset and motivation. But again, the more fully you really understand the drivers and the barriers for your learners, the more effective you're going to be able to be in how you design your learning offerings, and then also how you talk about them, how you promote them.
Yeah, and I mean, you can imagine, a Venn diagram around some of this stuff where some of these different segments, these different categories do overlap, and you're looking for that kind of sweet spot where you're capturing the most of these characteristics within a particular segment, which can be very powerful in terms of positioning and messaging. One we'll mention that we find a lot of organizations don't tend to focus on as much as they could is ability and willingness to pay, and related to that, the learners or members or customers' role relative to decision-making for learning. So are they making training decisions for others? And if you know you've got a segment of your population that is making training decisions for others, or if you know you've got a particular segment of your population that is showing a particular willingness and ability to pay for whatever an offering is, that's very valuable data.
And then related to that, we could call this the firmographic segmentation. So if you're thinking about firms, if you are a learning business that's selling B2B, what do you know about those firms that make really good B2B customers in terms of company size or industry focus or any of that? And so having that segmentation and that data for your B2B customers can also be extremely valuable.
Yeah, and that's one of those classic overlap areas. If you're trying to target organizations of a certain size and you want to get to the person who makes training decisions within that organization, that's a great segment to be able to have data on.
And then I think the last segmentation idea or sort of category we'll talk to is just around strategic importance or strategic relevance. So when you think about your learning business, you think about your mission, you think about your goals for the next 2 or 3 years, how important are particular segments to helping you achieve those goals, achieve that mission?
So, you know, we'll tie a bow around this by just saying again that be sparing, less is more, and why is very important. So you want to consider all of these different types of segments, but whittle it down to the ones that really are important for your learning business and know why they are important. Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE. So we've talked a little bit about the business case for segmentation, sort of why segmentation matters at that high level. We've just talked through some different ways that you can think about segmenting learners. And so now it feels like it would be worthwhile to touch at least briefly on how do you get that segmentation data? How do you get that data that's going to allow you to segment your audience?
Yeah, and you know, we referenced this a little bit earlier, saying you need a plan. You need to make some decisions as early as possible about the types of segmentation data that you want to collect, because it's not going to just magically appear for you in most cases. But you know, as you have that plan, then you're going to have to go through the process of then actually getting and maintaining and updating the data. And of course, one classic method around this is surveying and getting learners to, you know, self-identify in some of these segment choices that we've talked about. We know from hard experience ourselves, and most of our clients know, that surveying is getting tougher and tougher to get people to respond to surveys, but it still needs to be a tool in your tool set. And it also needs to be something that you're repeating with some regularity over time. Like, you know, running the survey once every 5 or 10 years is probably not going to give you the level of segmentation data that you really need.
So surveys and that sort of learner self-identification, that's maybe a proactive way of getting some of this data. Another proactive way would be around using some other qualitative methods. So maybe you do interviews, you pick up the phone and call some people who you deem to be representative of some of these segments that you've identified. Maybe you do focus groups where you bring in, you know, more than one from that sample segment and talk through key issues with them and really uncover things like some of those psychographic needs around mindset and motivation, or get into a little bit around the competitive landscape for those folks. So those would be kind of more proactive ways to get some of the data or to update data if you think you already have some of this or have collected it in the past, but maybe it needs to be refreshed. But in addition to proactive, there's data that already exists, and it's going to be then more a matter of just kind of pulling that together, looking through it, and assessing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat more passive or maybe automated data is the way to put it. So, you know, the types of things that you're getting through your learning management system. Learning management systems are collecting all sorts of data, which often does not get used as well as it could. Your website data through your Google Analytics and other types of data that you're collecting there. Your email, you know, those open rates and click rates and engagement rates with your email, wealth of data. You've just got so many different data sources you can tap into, and you're going to do this over time. This isn't a static one point in time sort of thing. You're going to be continually refining the segmentation data. I'll note that really a lot of what we're talking about here aligns completely with our Market Insight Matrix tool, which we have an episode dedicated to that. We've talked about that tool a lot. I don't think we've actually talked about it a lot as a path to segmentation, but it absolutely is, because it's all about getting different types of data that you can then use in how you're going to market your offerings.
And then, of course, this is a great place to leverage artificial intelligence or other analytic tools to really help you dig through some of that data. You know, like you were saying, Jeff, if you're going to have this wealth of individual points of data about individual learners from your learning management system, you're probably going to need some tools to help you make sense of that volume of data, to see some of the patterns and see some of the takeaways around your segmentation from that. So just be thinking about AI and other analytical tools to help you find some of those insights into your audience.
Yeah, those can be extremely powerful. Those are things we're using ourselves and thinking about our own segments right now. So maybe we should turn to how to use all of this wonderful segmentation data that we've been talking about here.
And so I think a clear place where you can use the segmentation data is in your promotions. And we started out near the beginning of our conversation just talking about how common it is for promotions in the marketing world to make use of segmentation so that they can better personalize the message that's being received. That's something for learning businesses to do. You can be thinking about, okay, what is that message in the email going to this segment going to be? How can we really speak to them and hit on some of their pain points or hit on some of their aspirations, but really target it to that segment?
Yeah, and we've talked before on a number of occasions in talking about learner engagement, about how engagement begins during that promotional cycle, the early stages of marketing, getting to the right learners with the right message and engaging the motivations of those learners as you bring them towards the actual offering and move them into the actual offering. You really want to, again, as you're saying, Salisa, tailor that message and put them on a path towards learner engagement in your offerings. Now, you can also do things when you're promoting, like configuring specific offers to specific groups. So you might do things like free courses to previously unengaged members or customers to try to move the needle, or maybe a special follow-on deal for folks who enrolled in a specific course or a seminar.
And then you can also potentially use segmentation data to determine the cadence or the frequency or the timing of your promotional messages. So if you know that, you know, that seasoned professional tends to be much more harried and they're really going to only want to see at most kind of one email a week from you, and maybe they want it at a certain time of day, you know, this is where you can begin to sort of play with, when do we send it? How frequently do we send it? To also go along then with, of course, that tailored messaging and also potentially those tailored specific offerings to your particular segments.
Yep. And this is definitely a place to leverage AI. You can supply information about a particular offering and information about the audience segments. And for example, have AI write different emails. So maybe emphasizing different features for different segments, asynchronous for mid-careers who are likely to have school-age kids, that sort of thing. This is something, I mean, all of these things we're talking about, we do in our own learning business. And for example, in the run-up to the most recent Learning Business Summit, we did this, fed a bunch of data into ChatGPT and had it help generate a series of different emails for marketing that particular event. That's a starting point, we should say. In my experience so far, ChatGPT still does not come up with the perfect thing, but it can help to really sort of jog your thinking and get you on a clear path that you can then really configure and customize to truly fit your audience and the different segments within it.
So promotion is a very clear, fairly obvious way to use segmentation data. Another big way to use segmentation data then is for product development.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we hear a lot about, you know, being able to leverage content in different ways and in different formats and for different audiences. And of course, you have to have the segmentation data to do that in the first place. You don't want to just sort of be proliferating content without, again, that why in the background, having identified specific audiences that, you know, different permutations of content can be used for. We had an interesting example come up in our mastermind not too long ago, where one of the members in a sort of more of a trade association was approached by a member company who wanted to use that organization's core training or one of its core trainings to create more targeted, specific training for its own employees internally. And they were able to take the core training of the organization, run it through Synthesia, which is one of the, you know, AI video tools, and basically, based on their segment data for their particular set of employee learners, were able to convert it into content to fit their audience. So that sort of, you know, content reuse story, but really tailored based on segmentation data and, of course, leveraging AI to make that happen.
And, you know, you can use the segments to create different versions of the same products. This is kind of a different spin or a slightly larger view of what you were just sharing there, Jeff, in that example. But, you know, we know that there have been learning businesses in the past that have put in the time and energy and effort to really standardize the set of materials that they have for their trainings, for their learning experiences. And so they have those standard materials, whether it's in person or online. And so once you have those segments and you realize, okay, who's going to benefit more from the in-person, who's going to benefit more from the online, then you can, again, tailor that, the promotion of that correct product to that user. And then, as you're saying, Jeff, you're setting them up on the way in to come into a product that's most likely to align with their needs and their preferences, and then they have that good experience there. And so then that all leads to just greater engagement that starts very early on in the process, and it ties to both the promotion and to the specific sort of flavor of the offering that learner, that segment is presented with.
Yeah. And, you know, this is one of the great arguments for being able to chunk your content out as much as possible into small components so that those can be sort of reconfigured in different ways for those different paths and different audiences. You know, and of course, really this kind of segmentation is just, it's fundamental to personalization and to adaptive learning experiences that we know so many organizations really want to make part of their approach to learning right now. You know, AI has big promise around this. But if you don't have that segmentation data in the first place, it's kind of hard to leverage the opportunities for personalization and adaptive learning experiences and really getting the most out of AI.
And kind of one approach to adapting a learning experience can just be around sort of having different tiers or different levels of the offering, you know. So maybe there's a free offering that maybe goes to a certain segment. Maybe there's a shorter version, you know, a micro learning sort of piece that might go to a different segment. Maybe there's sort of the deeper dive that might go to a third segment. So you could kind of imagine that both the free and the micro and then the fuller offering are all based on some of the same assets, the same content, but just pulled together differently for different segments.
And the last thing we'll say here about, you know, using segmentation data around product development, and there's certainly plenty more that could be said, but it can be a great tool for strengthening community around your learning offerings and, you know, as a result, strengthening learner retention as well. So, for example, if you've got good data on your learners, then being able to connect learners with true peers for whether it's for peer-to-peer learning or just accountability, you know, whatever's going to be productive in that experience, or connecting them with mentors. So you can see that early career person and you can see that later career person based on the data, and you can see other commonalities between them and just be able to arrive at the decision that this is a great match, that this person's going to be a great mentor to this person.
So we have talked about why, the business case. We've talked about different typical bits of data that you can use to segment. We've talked a little bit about how to get some of that segmentation data. We were just talking about how to use segmentation data. So the last area that we'll touch on is just around the idea of measurement, the idea of looking at the impact of all of this.
Measurement's always a good thing. And knowing that you are actually having an impact with what you're doing. And if you're just starting out with doing this, then getting a baseline now is important. So, you know where you're starting from and have an idea of where you're trying to move to. And then see if segmentation of messaging helps, for example, and increasing open rates or click-throughs. And then does it help with the real test, which is purchases?
Yeah, it just reminds me of your conversation with Elena Schlachta, and she was at the Learning Business Summit earlier. But just that idea of having a hypothesis,
yeah,
and that it's really important because you want to have that hypothesis about, okay, now that we have the segmentation, yes, we should see higher open rates, or we should see higher click-through rates, or we should see greater sales revenue because of this. So figuring out what is that hypothesis that you have around what this segmentation is going to do for you, and then test it, right?
Yeah.
See if it actually plays out.
Yep, definitely true. I mean, all strategy basically comes down to having a hypothesis and testing that out.
Right. And so we talked about a little bit on the promotion side, you know, like click-throughs and open rates. In terms of once people engage in the learning experience itself, it might be looking at completion rates.
Right.
Do those go up? Might be looking at evaluation results. Do those go up? Because then the right people are getting to the right offerings. But again, be very clear. This goes back to that earlier comment about be clear on your why. We were talking about why for segmenting, and now this is around kind of, and what's the end result of that why? Why are you segmenting, and what results are you looking for? So we're going to recap briefly and offer some final thoughts, so stick with us for another minute or two.
At leadinglearning.com/episode449, you'll find show notes, a transcript, and options for subscribing to the podcast.
If you enjoy the Leading Learning podcast, please do us and a colleague the favor of sharing this show with that colleague, someone you feel would appreciate and get value from it.
To recap, we see segmentation as an important aspect of what any learning business should do in the marketing realm.
If you're already segmenting, revisit your segments. Are they still accurate? Are you leveraging them well, especially in the areas of product development and promotion?
And if you haven't yet segmented your audience, we encourage you to start small and identify 2 to 5 segments that matter the most and that you're in a position to serve well or soon in the future.
And whether you're starting fresh or already have segments in place, remember that you'll need to continuously refine segments as learner behaviors evolve.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.